Actually, it would be wonderful if we would stop here. We could go home and not be distracted. We all have to see such a Christ. When we look upon his glory or behold his glory with unveiled face, we will be transformed to the same image from glory to glory. So it is good to see this word. We can't see him in the spirit without the word. And we can only also just not have the word without the spirit. We need both. That's why we have this wonderful word from the prophet Isaiah. And in that he shows us and gives us so much light through the spirit. We will be transformed in the same image, and this is important. Oh Lord, do this in all of us. It's no wonder that Paul said in the scripture that for me to live is Christ. He doesn't want to just know him in an objective way, but he wants to live him out, live him. Live through him, not just for him, but to live him. And he wanted to gain him more. And this is the only way in which we today can also serve the Lord, or serve as the Lord did. For to us to live is Christ. Amen. Lord, and now we come to Chapter 54. I'm pretty sure we won't reach the end of the book of Isaiah, but it's also okay. If we have clearly lay hold of or grasped the first part of this section, then it's also good, because sometimes too much is also not good. So it's very necessary to see such a servant, so that we would also become like him. This is the crux of the matter. So if we come to 54, it is, before we come to Isaiah 54, let's read Galatians. Galatians 4. Because Paul cited Isaiah in this section. Chapter 4, starting from verse 21 until the end. Galatians 4, 21 to 31. Let's read it together. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was born of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. Verse 26, but the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Amen. Hallelujah. So it says, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Sarah was barren at that time. From herself. She could not bear. It had to have been worked through the Lord. And here we also see Hagar.
Ohne was Paulus geschrieben hat, vielleicht können wir nicht ganz.
And without what Paul wrote, we probably wouldn't have been able to understand Isaiah 54. But praise the Lord that the Apostle Paul was used by God to show us, give us a window into what Isaiah 54 meant. Of course, we cannot grasp everything, but we can lay hold of some, a little bit. So after the Lord accomplished such a redemption work, then that which God wanted happened. Remember that as the Lord died, he did away with the old covenant. He ended the old covenant. This is what Hebrews tells us in a very clear way. The old covenant is done away with. It was only a preparation and it was preliminary. And now the real, actual thing that God has purposed came about through the work of the Lord. And here it says, rejoice, O barren. This was referring to Sarah, so to say. You who do not bear. You know the story. Sarah could not have a child. But God's plan was not with Hagar, but with Sarah. It's wonderful. And now, through such a work of the Lord, this redemption work serves for the purpose of having many being born through the Spirit. This is such a wonderful picture that we see here. It's a mystery. It's no longer that which is born of the flesh, but now God, through that which the Lord has accomplished, wants to bring many children who are born through the Spirit, like Isaac. Rejoice, O barren. It's a great joy. She will have many sons, many children. And this is what the Lord wants now through the Spirit, through being born again, through the redemption, through the wonderful Christ who is resurrected. The Lord did not just die. The Lord wants to see the fruit of his labor. He wants to have many children, descendants. And through this, God's plan is fulfilled. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. Oh, Lord Jesus. And this is something that we see Paul explained, Isaiah 54. The heavenly Jerusalem, Zion, is our mother. It came about through the work of the Lord, through his death, and through his resurrection. God's plan is the heavenly kingdom. And actually, God wants the earthly Israel. He wanted to prepare them to enter into the heavenly realm, from the fleshly into the spiritual. He wanted to lead them from the earthly to the spiritual, but unfortunately, they did not want to. They rejected it. It's a pity. They did not want to. And Isaiah already said it, that they would not want to. But we want to. Praise the Lord. And here it says, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations. In all nations across the entire earth, so many descendants. Isn't that wonderful? More as the earthly Jerusalem. So now this heavenly Jerusalem is our mother. This heavenly Zion has so many daughters, so many children. And it hasn't stopped, even today. We should continue. Let's not stop. Please, do not stop. Don't say, I don't have a burden. We all have to have the burden of the Lord. Through the spreading out of his wonderful life, through the wonderful work that the Lord has done and the work that he will continue to do to build up Zion. And he will come back. And he wants to bring his kingdom here to onto earth, establish his kingdom here and be the King of Kings. And he will rule over all the nations. Is this not wonderful? It will prosper. And your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Do not be, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and you will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. Praise the Lord. Amen. What the Lord wants to do today, we all have to recognize it. And it's not just redemption. It's not just to have many children. What should the many children do? Look, there's so many believers nowadays. So many born-again believers. How many Christians are there in Nigeria? Many, right? Can you number them? No. So many. There's so many. But what do the many children do? What do the many believers do today? What is the goal? What does God want to do? Where is the heavenly Jerusalem? Where can you see it? So we have to be such servants. And we have to clearly recognize God's plan and purpose and pray for it. Lord, build up Zion. Build your kingdom, the heavenly, the unshakable kingdom. Zion is our mother. The heavenly Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. And we are the children. We are the sons. And today we have to see that the Lord wants to build up Zion again. He wants to build up the heavenly Jerusalem, Lord Jesus. And then he says, for your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. It's wonderful. There's even a husband. We don't have just a God. We have a husband. We have this living God has many relationships with us. We are his bride. He is the bridegroom. So at the end, we see the heavenly, the new Jerusalem is the bride of the Lamb, the wife of the Lamb. And Christ, the Lamb, is the bridegroom. That means we will be fully made one with him. And at the end, the Spirit and the bride speak together in one voice, come. It's not good when the bride speaks differently from the Spirit. And it's even worse if she speaks against what the Spirit says. Then you have problems in your family. Then you have marital issues. And then there are discussions and fighting. All married couples can testify of this. If the husband says this and then the wife says that, then at the end, then there's a volcanic explosion at the end. But the Spirit and the bride speak exactly the same thing. In the church, we cannot even speak the same thing among ourselves. In a certain sense, this is quite sad. Because we are not speaking what the Spirit wants to speak. So according to which opinion should I act? You according to my opinion and I according to your opinion? How can we be one in that we deal according to the opinion of our husband, of the Spirit? The scripture says that the husband is the head of the woman and that the woman has a head covering. And that means that the church has to have a head covering. We have to listen to our husband. Why do we in the church act as if we have no husband? The elders are not our husband. There are 4 elders, 9 elders, 7 elders. Then we have issues. Christ is the head of the church. Now we are his bride. We have one husband, and his name is God, the Lord Tzebaot. He fights for us. He is the Redeemer. He is the Holy One of Israel. And he is the God of the whole earth. The one who is sitting on the throne is the ruler of all the kings that are on this earth. This title is something that we already have to accept today or perceive today. We have a wonderful husband. In him all things have been created, and for him and unto him. And at the same time, he is our Redeemer. And we belong to him. And he is the head of the church. And today he is building, not the earthly Jerusalem. Hebrews says he is building something heavenly. And only he can build this. He only can build that which is unshakable. In Hebrews, he says he wants to shake everything. Shake everything that needs to be shaken, Lord. It's good. You know, if God wants to shake something, what do? We all try to hold it together so that it really doesn't fall apart. Or? Isn't that the case? If it's to be shaken, let it be shaken. That which is unshakable will indeed remain. But if you try to help with all your strength, try to hold it together and hold fast to it, and then that which remains is what is shakable. So then the Lord has to send an even greater earthquake. I have learned a little bit. Let it fall apart. If it can fall apart and fall down, let it fall down. Who am I to hold it together? This universe, after so many thousands of years, has not fallen apart. Why? Who has held it together? Have we held the universe together? No, I think we're rather the ones who destroy it. But it's through the word of his power. He holds it together. And we try to hold together that which God has built with our muscles. I don't have much muscle. He's looking for someone who has a lot of muscle mass. And we want to, with all our might and force, hold things together. And at the end, we have problems and problems. We want to hold things together. And he shakes and we try to hold fast. And he shakes and we try to hold fast. Let it fall apart. Let it fall apart. If it's from the Lord, it will not fall down. Everything that has been built from him will remain standing. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Really. That's why today I have no problem. It's not that I don't have a heart for the saints, but if he shakes, what shall I do? What can I do? Forty years ago, I still had some muscle. And I tried and tried to hold everything together. But now I'm old. I have no more muscle. But it's also good. It's good to not be able to do anything. Just let it fall. What we try to hold together through our own strength as man, this creates problems for God. And at the end, God will say, okay, do your own thing. So praise the Lord. We have such a wonderful God who builds the heavenly Jerusalem. And He is the architect. He is the builder. And He's the maker and also the husband. And He also fights for us. And He is also the Lord of hosts. He has a great army. What can we do against powers and principalities today? Only with Him. We follow Him and He fights for us. The problem is we mix ourselves into the matter, and that's why we have to keep the Sabbath. Let Him do the fighting, we do the resting. It's good. Right? Michael, hallelujah. It's a joy to be here together and see what He is doing. Let the Lord do it. Today, don't come to me with lots of problems because I have no solution. I have no solution. He has the solution. He does everything. We keep the Sabbath. Oh, Lord Jesus, the Lord of hosts is His name. He is this fighter for us. He is the Holy One of Israel. Praise the Lord. We should really pay attention to be holy, care to be holy. Remember what the scripture says, be holy, for I am holy. It's not about what we do, but be holy. And He is called the God of the whole earth, for the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken. At that time, God really forsook them. Actually, it was the other way around. They forsook Him. Otherwise, God wouldn't forsake us. And grieved in spirit. Oh, Lord, today it looks, everywhere it looks like a woman grieved in spirit. Like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. At that time, it happened with the earthly Israel. And today, in the last 2,000 years, we have seen also, His bride, His wife, was disobedient. Look at the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. Did they listen to the Lord? They didn't listen. They didn't want to. And at the end, exactly as Isaiah said, they became a harlot. The harlot in Revelation 17. We are repeating history. Maybe it has to be this way. What can we do? What could God do? God could also not hinder it. So the Lord, praise the Lord, continued to say, for a mere moment I have forsaken you, because they actually forsook Him. Do not say that God will not forsake us as His wife, as the bride. Individually speaking, we are sons, but corporately speaking, we are the heavenly Jerusalem, who is this woman, who is the mother.
Oh,
But with great mercies I will gather you. As the Lord came, he wanted to gather them, but they also did not want to be gathered. Can you imagine what stubbornness that was? And do you think that we who are born again are more obedient? Are we more obedient as those before? No, if we live in the flesh, we are just as stubborn, just as hard. Our flesh is not different. Our flesh is not better. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Oh Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. None of us is so strong that we would not walk away. But with great mercies, I will gather you. But the Lord says, I wanted to gather you, but you did not want to. He wants to put us under the shadow of his wings, but our wings are greater than his. And we fly away right away. With a little wrath. His wrath is not little, actually. But with a little wrath, I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting kindness, I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. This is what God could say through what Jesus Christ did. This is very wonderful. And how often, as servants of the Lord, do we have to say, have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on us. We are all fully reliant on his mercy. His mercy endures forever. Regardless of how fallen we are, if we turn to him, he can save us. But unfortunately, we don't want to. That's the problem. If we don't want to, God has to wait. He even has to judge us. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be angry with you, nor rebuke you. Of course, if you're well behaved. But if we again act in such a stiff-necked way and do not want to turn, what can God do? But the Lord will not leave us forever. I want to tell all of us who are sitting here that our salvation can never be lost. It is possible that we will not be able to partake of the millennial kingdom, but in the new heaven and new earth, in the new Jerusalem, we are surely all there. We are for sure all there, but not in the millennial kingdom, if we sell our birthright. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed. The new covenant is so solid, says the Lord who has mercy on you. You cannot just read this and say, praise the Lord, nothing happens, I can do whatever I want to do, nothing will happen to me. And then I say, read Hebrews. O you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted Behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundations with sapphires. It looks like the New Jerusalem. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. This is how the Lord wants to build, if we're well behaved. I always have to insert this little sentence. We see this in the New Covenant. Even if we're not well behaved, he will lay us aside for a short time, 1,000 years. It really is a short time. Because during the new heaven and new earth, we're all there. So what's 1,000 years in comparison to the eternity? It's a short time. Praise the Lord. And all your walls of precious stones, all your children shall be taught by the Lord. It's good to begin today. And great shall be the peace of your children. This is why we can appreciate the Lord as our peace offering. So if we take him as our peace offering, we will not fight every day. In righteousness you shall be established. Praise the Lord for the righteousness. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Praise the Lord. Today, if we are in the Spirit, then we can taste all of this and experience all of this. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. We don't need to fear. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. The moth. God will have a whole army of moths. Don't be afraid. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the spoiler to destroy. The Lord has created all these things. Don't think that parents are so intelligent in making weapons. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Against you, the heavenly Jerusalem, Zion, shall prosper. But there are prerequisites. Don't forget. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. One day, someone told me, I want to condemn you at the judgment seat of Christ. I said, okay, fine, let's stand before Christ at this judgment seat. I have to stand there anyway. And he does too. So let the judge decide. That's good. Oh Lord, we praise you. It was such a word that the Lord spoke. Every tongue. There are many tongues today which rises against you in the judgment you shall condemn. So regardless of what people say today, it really does not matter. If you want to be a servant of the Lord, then you also have to learn, regardless of what people say, as long as you know within your heart that you are doing righteousness and you are straight before the Lord, then it is really irrelevant what people say. Let the Lord deal with it. Otherwise, you will become distracted. And everything that Satan is doing with all these tongues, all that he does is to distract you, so that at the end you give up everything. And so you're so angry, so discouraged, you're so... then you just want to throw everything out the window. I've seen this too. That's why the Lord says, blessed are those who are not offended because of me. Satan tries to do so many things to prepare offenses for us. And if we don't realize this, then we trip and then we fall flat on the ground. And then the enemy steps all over us. Learn that regardless of what people say to do this, look at everything that they said about the Lord. They said so much, so many things. Did the Lord get riled up? No. It didn't affect him. It didn't provoke him. He kept going. If we're provoked, if we are offended, this will hinder us to go on. And this is what the enemy is looking to do. So do not permit it, do not allow it. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Let's read the last sentence together. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now we can all go home. Is this not wonderful? Oh, man. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Let us pray.